A very good afternoon, Namibia, and a warm welcome to On The Reading News Analysis right here on Eagle FM. I'm your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, and I'm here to keep you company up until 14:30. Of course, it's Monday, the 29th of September, 2025, and the last Monday of this month of September, 2025. Now, as the week begins and we are drawing in, Namibians, of course, are busy shaping the stories of the day. Now, whether you're tuning in from the bustling streets of Windhoek, heading to a shift in Katimamulilo, trading to crops near Okahanjo, or studying in a library in Nongwediba, thank you for making Eagle FM your number one talk radio station of choice this afternoon. Now, right here on the Reading News Analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening, we explore why it matters, how it affects the lives of everyday Namibians, and what it means for the future of our country. Now, from major policy decisions to the small details of everyday life, we unpack the forces shaping our nation and bring in the voices that matter most. And remember, your voice is just as important as the news itself. So make sure that you share your thoughts with us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, WhatsApp, or make sure that you tune in throughout to the end via Eagle FM website or Eagle FM app. From the scenery landscape of Swakopmund to the farmlands of Grootfontein, and from the shores of Walvis Bay to the quiet streets of Tsumeb, wherever you are this Monday afternoon, we're glad to have you with us. This is On The Reading News Analysis, Namibia's stories unpacked and connected to the people who live them. Let's get closer to today's top stories. Today, NAMFISA presented the second quarterly report of 2025. Now, the second quarter report of NAMFISA indicates that the retirement funds lured in terms of NBFI, that is non-banking financial sectors, with 55% portion. The micro lenders in Namibia contains 1% of the total portion of non-banking financial sector shares. Let's weigh in as Abel Sindano from NAMFISA tells us more.
Now, earlier on, we spoke about the consumer complaints that we are facilitating. And for the quarter that we are reporting on, we received 105 complaints. And then 79% of those complaints were resolved, which is a good rate. I think when you are resolving 79% of whatever complaints you have received, I think the colleagues are doing a good job in that unit in terms of resolving that. Now, from the numbers, we can see that the complaints that we receive, the highest are in the long-term insurance in terms of numbers. But now, when we were rewarding or those that were resolved, you can then see that in monetary term, what we have rewarded, the most rewards came from the short-term insurance sector. And under the short-term insurance sector, what we have observed that the issues that were raised is actually the repudiation of insurance claim. For the long-term insurance, what we have observed in terms of the complaints that were raised, it was mostly non-payment of the funeral covers. And then in the micro lending space, the most complaints that we have seen is actually the where's my Bruce? In the micro lending space, what we have observed is that the most complaints stemmed from micro lenders overcharging their clients. Because for the micro lenders, even the rate that they charge is stipulated already in the Micro Lending Act. So there's supposed to be a certain percentage which they're supposed to charge. But we have seen that they do overcharge their clients, but their clients are allowed to come to us and then we can resolve that. Now, we're going to now get into some subsectors in terms of how they have performed. We'll start with the long-term insurance. Now, when you look at the long-term insurance, we wanted to understand this subsector itself. Who are the big players in the long-term insurance? Now, based on the asset for quarter two of 2025, we have observed that the big players in the long-term insurance is Old Mutual Life Assurance, accounting for 33.6%, followed by Sanlam Alliance Life, accounting for 26.1%, and then Momentum and Metropolitan Momentum Holdings, accounting for 14.1%. So these are the big players in the long-term insurance. Those three put together, they account about 73.8%, which is quite big, and we can say that it's quite concentrated into the three companies. Now, in terms of the performance, we could see that over the time that we are presenting on the slide, the trend has been that their total assets are always higher than total liability. Once you have that picture, I think it gives us comfort in terms of them meeting their liability should anything happen. So it is a healthy picture that we are seeing in terms of the assets and liability that the long-term insurance is having. But now, where are these assets allocated that the long-term insurance is having? And you can see that the majority of it is in Namibia, which is again a good thing, that most of their investment assets are held in Namibia. Another thing that we can look at is the underwriting per class, just to give us an idea in terms of the products that the long-term insurance are having, in which products are these long-term insurance are holding, which products are those. And then you can see that the individual risk accounts for the highest within their mix of products that they are selling to us. This is followed by then the life annuities and then the fund risk. But then looking at the claims and the premium underwritten during the period under review, again, you can see that the premiums that they are writing is higher than the claim that they have paid out. Again, when you have such a picture, and again, that shows a healthy that they are able to still pay claims using the premium that they have collected. They are not getting into their investment to cover for the shortfall, but they have a surplus in terms of what they are collecting, and they are able to cover the claims. Now, in terms of policy statistics, this is just to indicate to you in terms of the numbers of themselves, how many policies were written or how many policies lapsed. We are saying that in the quarter under review, there were about 28,722 policies that lapsed. And then we had about 38,284 policies that were terminated during that period in reference to the long-term insurance. Now, penetration ratio, this is an indicator that we use in terms of just to measure how developed is your, in this case now, the long-term insurance industry itself. Now, from the figures, you can see that we have been above 4% in terms of penetration, which is an indication actually that we have a developed long-term insurance industry in Namibia. If you have to do a comparison in the region, in Africa context, you'll see that in terms of this indicator, Namibia is then ranked as second to South Africa. South Africa has well-developed market in terms of South Africa has a well-developed market in terms of long-term insurance or short-term insurance, but Namibia is ranked second in Africa. But there's room for improvement, because when you look at the index itself, we are still in one-digit space, while South Africa has two-digit space in terms of their index. So there is room for improvement in terms of how do we then develop, how do we make this industry to be inclusive to everybody else. Now, stepping to the short-term insurance, short-term insurance in our market for the quarter two of 2025, we have observed that our main players in that market is corporate guarantee, which accounts for 37.3%, followed by Santam and then Holland. Now, again, in terms of the assets and the liabilities, we still observe the same trend in the short-term insurance, whereby they have higher total assets versus the liabilities. And when it comes to where are the assets allocated for the short-term insurance, again, you can see in this one that the higher proportion of the assets is in Namibia, which is above 80 or so percent. Earlier on, we saw for the long-term insurance, that was hovering about 50% or so. In this industry, we are seeing it's about 80% or so is in Namibia. Okay, yes. It's technology, so we are keeping up with technology.
Let's pause here now, make room for a scheduled commercial break, and when we return, we'll be having a thorough discussion on this.
Save big at YouSave. 4 kilos real good frozen mixed chicken portions just 189.99 Namibian dollars. 4 packets Knorr thickening soup, all variants, 24 Namibian dollars. 700 milliliters Crystal Gold tomato sauce, 24.99 Namibian dollars. 750 grams Nola mayonnaise, a baggin at just 27.99 Namibian dollars. 500 grams Romy 37% fat spread, 14.99 Namibian dollars. And 3 kilo bag selected pasta polana, 74.99 Namibian dollars. You save as good as the best for less.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere urikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoye ekukurile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa Nuneuto, o tukwetira o special ange, tashake ngeje pa omarudi dayo loka, opone ushendi fenawa, nukumona oijamwiri nawa, ninge pata fanona, Monica ko Eagle FM, onora etatimwe bali heali, nola natu heali bali no heali, ileko berewa, mura etatu natu, bali o etatu batatu, oma felane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. And now in studio, I'm joined by journalist and reporter David Chambe. Good afternoon, David Chambe. Pleasure to have you with me right here.
Yeah, good afternoon, Juju. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, of course, Chambe, we understand that NAMFISA presented the second quarterly report of 2025.
Yeah.
Now, for you, what overview or what is your understanding of the whole presentation of NAMFISA's quarter?
Yeah, thank you very much. And we all, when you look at NAMFISA, everybody is asking about micro lenders, because that is maybe the only thing that connect an ordinary person to the institution is, one of the main connector of an ordinary Namibian who is at the village is how they got access to financial institution. And micro lenders are one of the non-banking financial institutions which are regulated by NAMFISA.
Yeah.
But here the overall picture of the quarterly, or the second quarterly report of NAMFISA, to me, it is indicating how the size and proportion of non-banking financial assets in Namibia, where they indicated that this asset growth with 4.2% and is estimated or is at 501.7 billion, and that is the asset which is controlled by Namfisa. And who are these guys? When you talk about non-banking financial institution, you have your Old Mutual, you have your Letseho, you have your Santam, you have your short term insurance and also long term insurance. Then the question also that
so you have medical aid funds.
Yeah, you have medical aid funds and many others. Maybe
pension funds.
Maybe the main thing that we need to look at is that when you speak about expansion of non-banking financial institution asset, what does it mean to an ordinary Namibian? Because Juju must be able to understand that whenever we go to, we can go to Bank of Namibia, whenever they give their report, they are always giving this thing to say the financial system within the banking sector is stable. And it is not posing any threat to the economy. And today you have heard from the CEO of Namfisa when he's talking about non-banking financial,
institutions,
where he indicated to say when it's coming to management regulating of non-banking financial institutions, the non-banking financial institution is still stable, rigid. It doesn't pose any threat to the system. Now the question you are asking to say, man, in a situation where the economy within the investment in those sectors is increasing, what will happen to me? Then I have to pose a question to say, now when you are talking about this asset of over 500 billion, this asset of non-bank financial institution expanding, what does it mean to an ordinary person on the ground? So yeah, it means that you will be able to benefit indirectly. We speak about those who are investing in building of, for example, Marua Mall and others. They also get some of the portion from, the pension funds, because the money that you put there before you retire is also used for investment. But it was also very interesting also to see, where are we standing? Because in most cases, when we look at Namfisa from far, we only look at it, in connection to loans and other things. But when for example, MTC with Letseho work together with this Tamba Maris, it has to be regulated under Namfisa and other things. When people speak about financial inclusion, Namfisa must be there. But what I'm trying to make here is that micro lenders is a little. You cannot even feel it. It's 1 to 2%, 2% actually, 2% to this whole thing. And at number one, you have retirement funds, you have long-term insurance, you have corrective investment, you have investment managers, short-term, where you have your Santam and others. Then you have micro lenders at 2%. And you have medical aid funds at 1%, which means that there is a lot of institution being regulated. It's up to us Namibians to understand how investment is working. Because at the end of the day, there are people who are benefiting from this investment. There are people who understand the game of investment. Are you investing in bonds? Are you investing in liquid asset and all other things? But to us, if it's not the Letseho, if it's not Old Mutual, if it's not Postfin, if it's not these little micro lenders and other things. But you must also be able to see that this report has also indicated some of the challenges, because Namfisa has categories. Namfisa has those categories on how do you deal with those you are regulating. Then they indicated that 60% of these institutions which are being regulated, they are at stage one, which means that they are doing very well. They are complying. But you have 17% of stage two, which means that they are doing well, but there is still room for improvement. Then you have stage 3, 4, and 5. What is very interesting in this graph is that when the experts present, they said even though micro lenders are just part of 2% of the whole population, they are the one, most of them are the one who are at stage 4 and 5. They are the one who are not complying.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why maybe is something that we need to improve, because the other time somebody gave an indication to say, when it comes to microlenders, microfinance, you find a microlender which is giving a loan up to 50%. If you give me a loan up to 50% of my income, which means that you made me a former slave to you. Because you already know I cannot manage my finance. If you give me 50% of what I'm earning, it means that I'm part of your business, and I will not end it in this voluntary slavery that people cannot really see. Maybe that is what I can indicate. And also to look at, maybe lastly is, what interests me is, the loan cash book, the loan cash book of second quarterly. In simple terms, it just means that how much is owed, to these, institutions, especially when it's coming to cash loans and others, which is at 7.1%. And, it's a bit, low, compared to, you know, compared to the previous quarters. Yeah. And there are also indication to say, borrowing is also decreasing. But, when borrowing is decreasing, maybe people are already exhausted. Or maybe people, some people have blacklisted already. It's a matter of question, because you can't have an imbalance in the economy.
Yeah.
Where you have, you know, the economy which is expanding, but an ordinary person continue to go down. But yeah, it's a very interesting also report to see. Yes.
Let's go back to microlenders.
Yeah.
Of course, a lot of Namibians are still dealing with microlenders.
Yeah.
And average of Namibians are, a lot of Namibians are in debt, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And mostly when we're talking about non-banking financial institutions, right?
Yeah.
Now, David Chombe, do you think perhaps Namfisa itself is doing enough awareness? We still get a lot of people that are being scammed by microlenders every now and then. You speak about perhaps 50%, you know, a person is be charging you 50%.
Yeah.
I don't think that's even allowed by Namfisa, but there are still some who actually do these things illegally and get away with it.
You know what the funny thing about doing an illegal business, you can only come to light when you lost behind the closed doors. You know exactly that you need money, and you know exactly that what you are charged is not within the line, but the fact that you need the money, it make it very difficult also for you when you get that money, because at the end of the day, the problem is not getting money. The problem is retaining the money that you owed, realizing that when you borrow 100, you are going to give, 150 or so, almost 200. And the other thing is also that the institution regulates. When the institution regulates, it means that Namfisa does not really have, to me, what I think, even the bank, although they have a bigger role to play, they don't really need to go to deep into the economic expansion of things, because to them they are regulating, you know, institutions.
Yeah.
But when an ordinary person is suffering, then I say, Juju, please give me 200, fine. Even if I pay you 300 to 400, I don't care at that moment. But when you look at the law, you realize you say that is not allowed, and people have to be punished for that. But, it's a 2%, but it means a lot to
an ordinary Namibian.
To an ordinary Namibian. Yeah. And it's a 2% contribution to the whole non-bank financial, assets. But, it's big.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And especially at a critical time, such as in January, kids are going back to school.
Yeah.
And perhaps, other ones are going back to university.
Yeah.
Yourself, you need to sustain yourself in terms of going to work and
just
at home, you know, economically feeding yourself and your family. That's where you see how very, important the microlenders become. And that's where they overcharge as well.
Yeah.
And of course, I know that, Namfisa does come out here and there, especially in the beginning of the year. To say, you know, don't allow somebody to overcharge you like this. But don't you think maybe they just need a lot more that needs to be stretched in order to educate the ordinary Namibian? I'm sure there are actually a lot of Namibians that don't even know that Namfisa regulates microlenders for that matter.
Yeah, I think the best part to do is the content of what we give out there.
Yeah.
Because it's financial literacy. Not only the term of speaking, not only the terms of me going to school and teach people entrepreneurship. It's real financial literacy. Not financial literacy based on a book written in London.
Yeah.
But financial literacy based on the situation analyzed by Namibians to say, how Namibians are surviving at a location, how Namibians survive at a village. Mm-hmm. What is the best method I should teach these people to manage their finance? Is it try to buy a bag of Tombo sugar, then buying the basic food for my children? That is financial literacy, because giving me money is not a problem. The problem is when you give me money. And,
How do I manage it?
I'm too excited. By the time I start thinking, I already have 300 or 500 in my account. Mm-hmm. That is the question. Because when we have that knowledge, Juju, we will be thriving.
That's true.
Yeah, because how many people do you think qualified for loans? And look at 8.1 billion Namibian dollars last year, 2024, when Namibia owed. No. Namibia, you know, like the end of 2024, the last quarter of 2024, Namibians, there was a record to say owed cash loans 8.1 billion.
Mm.
And that's what we have been talking about, this thing to say, even economics teachers, people who teach financial accounting, they say, oh,
yeah.
Because financial literacy is not in real term.
Mm.
It's just there as words. But yeah, something that we really need to look at. And I think that is what I can take from that for now.
Yeah. Shamba, thank you so much.
Right, Juju.
Okay. Yeah. Now let's pause here again. Take a trip to the marketplace. We'll bring in an economist as well to discuss on this. Stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite okoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune uto otukwetira o special ange sashake ngeshefa omarude dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge fata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora isafimwe bali heavy nola natu heavy bali no heavy ileko berewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu omafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
And we are back, and now we are joined in studio by economist Peter Franz. Peter, good afternoon. Welcome to On the Reading News Analysis.
Good afternoon.
I'm well, thank you. Now, Peter, of course, we're discussing NAMFISA's second quarterly report of 2025. Now, this report of NAMFISA of the second quarterly indicates that retirement funds lead in terms of non-banking financial investment with 55% portion. Just what's your highlight or what's your take on this particular lead of retirement funds?
Basically what we're thinking about here is the importance of the retirement in the industry. I think the Namibian people have realized how important it is for the retirement and for saving.
Mm.
But also, given the fact that more than 50% of the labor force, and the report shows that it earns 10,000. So it's also a questioning of is it matching? How many people are on the number of the amount of money people want to save, and also they get monthly. So yeah, because it shows that 55%, this is 5% in retirement savings, and then the 1% on micro lending. People are saving more compared to what they are borrowing.
Actually, hey, but then again, we kind of want to also find out who is saving more and who is borrowing less. Perhaps that 1% may be a little bit, of course, it's just 1% or 2%. But then again, you want to look at who exactly, which category of people are saving more. Is it the ones who are already up there? Perhaps, talking about titles of CEO, COOs and stuff like that. What about the ordinary Namibians? Are they also saving more? Could we perhaps discuss in terms of that?
Yes, I think some are NDCs. Most of the companies don't have retirement, retirement. So what they do is that they take a portion of money from your salary and then they invest it elsewhere. And then now maybe it's these guys that are managing your portfolio that invest elsewhere.
Mm.
But most of the times are the ones with good salaries already, because those ones have few abilities, but the ones with low income, they barely save unless they are part of the government.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, heading over to micro lenders, Intrap Finance and Letsego Micro Financial Services each held 28.4% of the total loan book, where Old Mutual Finance term accounted for 18.9%. Now, collectively, these three micro lenders controlled 75.7% of the industry's total loans. What does that give to you as an economist, that three entities alone are already accounting for 75.7%, yet we do have a lot more other than obviously other micro lenders taking up 24.3%. Just what that actually is safe to you?
Yeah, this is actually, it's a sign of monopoly in the industry. So there's a monopolistic industry or portion of it. So this is like, if we are talking about three entities contributing to that kind of percentage, it means that they are taking advantage of the opportunity they have. And I think very soon when, because now that the instant payment, this one of the loan being backed with a salary, it's going to be removed. I think it will be different. Yes. However, just a kind of like the credit extension that is being extended to the private individuals.
Yeah.
I think it shows, it's actually the excess of credit that makes people to borrow. And those three entities have actually been taking advantage because their returns were 100% unless the person dies, especially those for government employees. Their returns were 100% because they take it like straight from the payslip. They don't wait for the bank statement and then they put what debit orders in place.
What do you think in terms of this, should a Namibian person educate themselves on in terms of investments, considering that investments are growing, with the way Namfisa has actually explained their quarterly report, and a lot of Namibians obviously are starting to be much more aware. Just what do you think that those who want to go into investment themselves, how do you think perhaps they can make use of this to educate themselves further on what investments to actually venture into?
Yes, I think people should focus more on buying shares, buy a portion of the company where applicable and where possible, because investments alone is not enough, because it still depends on the repo rate. Let's say you're investing in the country, the repo goes down, then your returns as well goes to the repo rate.
Yeah.
I think in a case where we have an opportunity to buy shares within a particular company or within the industry, or maybe buying the treasury bills, government bonds, and so forth, I think that would also be a good initiative. I'm not criticizing the fact that people should invest, but I think they should also look at other options that are not so common in the country.
What are those not so common options that you're referring to?
in a case where we are buying, just think of how many people buy government bonds, treasury bills, and those kind of things. How many people buy within the company? Because the thing is, what happened is, let's say I spend 60 or maybe 65 for early retirement. So instead of me taking my whole package into buying a Land Cruiser let me at least take 200,000 and buy 3% of a specific company. That's like buying a share in the particular company. I think that will save, and it's a long-term saving that will generate constant income.
Yeah, but do you think a lot of Namibians who are retiring or actually put this into consideration?
Honestly, they don't. If they do, it's a 3% out of 100. So they don't. Most of them buy cars and they start building, and then 6 months down the retirement, the money is done. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And lastly, what is it that you want us to derive from such documents such as this? And I'm not just referring to NAMFISA's specifically report of the second quarter of 2025, but any other institution that, of course, yeah, every Namibian would, you know, benefit from it in the long-term run. But what do you want us as an economist now, speaking to layman persons, what is it that you would want us to make use of such reports?
So, in most cases, the report doesn't mean anything, especially to people that don't understand.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, in layman terms, what it means is that people are borrowing, it's scary that people are borrowing that much. And also, maybe we should also just think of, just because you have an opportunity to borrow, doesn't mean you have to use it. Sometimes people borrow just to go buy, I don't know, funny things that doesn't even add. And then, it adds to your credit, and then you become like, then you'll be having a bad credit history and so forth. So I think what we can do, we should just, I think the investment industry is growing. We have retirement annuity, we have saving annuity, and these are things that are just like, you can borrow, like, you not borrow, but contributing 500 a month, and then, you know. And then it's a major return. You can go on a 5-year saving annuity, 10-year saving annuity if it's something that you want to get short term. But other than that, I think we should just minimize the borrowing part, especially when it's not like
beneficial or an emergency or, yeah.
Mm.
Is that what you?
Yes.
Mm. Okay. Peter Franz, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reading News Analysis.
Thank you, Herbie. It's always a pleasure.
Of course. And there you had it from economist Peter Franz. And of course, let's pause here now. This is On The Radar News Analysis. We're taking a pause and also inviting you to partake in the news bulletin. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. So also invited to partake in your opinions, contributions, or perhaps ask questions right here. Of course, I'll see you after the commercial break.
Lipura nenge no wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwepo tete okoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijabwiri nawa ninge Pada Fanona, Monica Ko Eagle FM, Honora is a female, Bali Hairi, Nola Natu, Hairi Bali, no Hairi, Ileko, Berewa, Mura Hetatu Natu, Bali O Hetatu Batatu, Oma Filane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually
to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura, and I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. In other news, today the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund of Namibia donated the advanced Lodox machine to the Ministry of Health and Social Services for Katutura State Hospital. Now, speaking at the handover ceremony, MDA Fund CEO Rosaria Martins-Hausiku highlighted that the progressive imaging equipment will allow patients to receive immediate full-body x-rays, ensuring quicker diagnosis and faster delivery of healthcare services, particularly for road accident victims. Now, more on what the Rodox x-ray machine is all about. Well, it's a digital low-dose full-body x-ray imaging system that uses slot scanning technology to quickly capture whole-body images of the skeleton and soft tissues. Of course, the Rodox scanner produces a full-body digital x-ray image, including skeletal and soft tissue in detail, in approximately 13 seconds for individuals. Another one particular aspect to note about the Lodox machine, compared to your normal x-ray traditional machines, the Lodox is a low-dose system requiring a significantly smaller amount of radiation compared to the conventional x-ray techniques, hence the name Lodox. And also, it is majorly, it can also be used, it has other uses, of course, but it's more, can be used in the emergency setting. In this regard, as for Katutura Hospital Emergency Department. So it's ideal for trauma patients, perhaps ones that have been in accidents or even a trauma with a particular a patient has suffered trauma by blunt trauma. Perhaps somebody used a stick or something to actually hit them or something. But majorly for I trust, obviously, since it's the fund that donated it to Katutura Hospital, it's majorly going to be used for all trauma patients, of course, but majorly for motor vehicle accident trauma patients, in order for them to help produce a full body imaging in order to help doctors and nurses to be able to identify the injuries that a patient has sustained, and that will help guide their diagnosis and treatment of the patient. Now let's take a listen to CEO of the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund of Namibia, that is Rosaria Martins-Hausiku.
The chairperson of the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund, who unfortunately could not be here due to other equal commitments that the government of Namibia requires his services for. He would have loved to be here because he followed this process since day one. So please accept the apologies of Dr. Herman Shitaveni. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very pleased and I'm also honored to be part of this milestone in the Namibian public healthcare sector. One of the MBA Fund values is that we value lives. And today is yet another contribution demonstrating one of our most cherished corporate values. We value life, not only for our employees, but for our clients, for every Namibian and every visitor to our land using our roads. As Dr. Amaguru said, this is the first low dosage full body x-ray machine to be used for patient care. And that's what we'll be witnessing this morning, right here at Katutura Hospital, a public hospital. So this represents a major step in strengthening Namibia's healthcare infrastructure and also improving trauma care. It's more than an equipment. It's improved quality outcomes. At times, it's a determinant of life and death. This expansion of healthcare provision is part of the national development agenda, and it's also embedded in the MBA fund mandate. It reinforces public trust in hospitals, and I wanted to underscore that, because a lot of times when people hear that their loved ones are in public hospitals, they get into a state of panic. It is our duty, it is our collective responsibility as Namibians to reinforce public trust in public hospitals and also ensure equal access to quality healthcare for all Namibians. But it's also a demonstration of effective state-public partnership. This morning we are not here alone. We intentionally asked Standard Bank to join us. And I wanted Maggie to please join me here. Maggie came here with a team from Standard Bank. Less than 5 years ago, Standard Bank approached us and they said, can we do something for Katutura Hospital Emergency Department? That's where the dream started. And we worked together. We started with a budget of 5 million. And then 5 million became 7 and it became 12 million. But still what we did here, nobody will believe that we did it with only 12 million. But it's because public and private stood together and saw the vision and believed in the dream, and we believed that we could deliver it right here at Katutura Hospital. And we delivered. I think 2 years ago we delivered. And at that time, my chief of operations, Philip, came and he was talking about a Lodox machine. And I was like, Shkwashken, what is this? We just spent so much money. At that time, he told me, I think he wanted to sell the concept. And he said, it's only like a 5 million. I said, okay, with that, I can go to the board. I went to the board was excited. Then I went to the board, I said, it seems it's like a 8 million. And the board says, okay, what happened? No, the cost of equipment. Eventually, when we actually started procuring this piece of equipment, thank you so much, Maggie. This piece of equipment, 13 million. Namibian dollar, and this in addition to the 12.6 million that was spent by Standard Bank and MBA fund. When we were crafting our strategy, this is now the second year that we are moving into our new strategy, the board was very intentional on smart partnerships, and this is what we are calling smart partnership. I'm actually taking this opportunity because the media is here. We are not done yet. We just started. You will soon hear of what we are doing at Central Hospital, the trauma wards, the ICU. I'm actually calling on corporate Namibia not to shy away, to join us in this. Together we can make a difference. Now, the Lodox machine provides high-quality, full-body scans, I believe, in 30 seconds. I'm not the expert, so I have to believe what they tell me. And it includes expectant mothers as well. And for our patients, specifically MEA 5, understand that because of the low dosage, they can actually go back. They can be scanned again because the dosage is low. The doctors will confirm that. So it reduces the risk of missed fractures and hidden internal injuries. That's why this piece of equipment is very special. It also enhances emergency response capacity and life-saving interventions. I really want to acknowledge the progress that's made in public healthcare delivery. There's good progress. We also recognize that there are still some challenges. The journey is long, but it's doable, it's attainable. The Ministry of Health and Social Services and the MBA Fund and its partners, we are committed to continuous transformation and expanding the healthcare footprint nationwide. We will do it, we're not just saying it, we will do it. Sometimes it might take longer, but we will achieve our goals. I alluded to ongoing and upcoming projects to ensure sustained improvements. Pretty soon we'll invite the media to announce the commencement of the next project. So it is really my call. Katutura State Hospital is more than just a building. It's a lifeline for many, and we should take that in mind. So I wanted to call on the citizens of Windhoek, Comas region, and also the entire Namibian nation. Let's own it, let's protect it, and let's support it. It is a collective responsibility to ensure that it is sustainable for future generations. As I conclude, I really wanted to thank the staff of Katutura Hospital for your patience. Sometimes we don't meet minds immediately, but thank you. Thank you for the work that you're doing here. We know it's not easy. You inspire us as well every time we come here. I wanted to thank the board of the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund in their absence. I have a very special board. They are not just people who come and sit together because they have to go through a board pack. They hold us accountable. They hold us accountable to our mandate, and they hold us accountable to the strategy that we deliver to the minister, that whatever we pin down becomes a reality. So I really wanted to thank them this morning. And finally, I wanted to thank the MVA Fund team. I always say I get to stand in front of here and look all glamorous, and then my picture is on the front page. But there's an entire team that makes the dream work. And to honor them, I just wanted them.
And personally for me, what this translates into as MVA Fund donates this Lodox machine to Katutura State Hospital, it translates to me specifically that for times when the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund, if it ever needed to send a particular patient outside Katutura Hospital, outside State Hospital, in order for them to get a scan via the Lodox machine, if ever it had been like that, then that means that there's no more ambulance cost that's going to be needed to send a particular patient, particularly for them to just get an x-ray via the Lodox machine in that particular angle. Of course, they'll be sent for other different treatments and perhaps other machines at other hospitals, but this particular one means that they have significantly cut down on the number of patients that would even have to be seen outside. And that's the one thing that I would really appreciate and would want to see moving forward, that eventually our state hospitals get to a state whereby, you know, you as a patient, and especially a patient who has been involved in a motor vehicle accident, where you can go to Katutura State Hospital as a first line of treatment. That is, of course, if the accident happened within the vicinity of Windhoek and it's at Katutura Hospital that you have to start, that you get the first line of treatment at the particular hospital or public health hospital, and you get the best treatment with the equipment being there. Of course, there are more particular equipments or particular machineries that would need to be put in place for us to get to that, but it's another step. Not, and I wouldn't want to say it's the beginning of a new journey, because the Motor Vehicle Accident Fund, alongside with Standard Bank, have revamped, you know, they have really changed the emergency department at Katutura State Hospital. If you haven't been there yourself, you'll see that so much has happened, so much changes has been done there, you know, and not just for the sake of the employees that are working there, the doctors, the nurses, the medical students that come there, but for the sake of the patients themselves. Imagine when you are in a particular room where the tables are clean, where you see the wall is not cracking, the paint is really on point. It makes you have confidence that even the treatment that I'm going to get right here is going to be something that is going to be significant, and I will be perhaps, you know, stepping out of this hospital more healthier and well treated. Now, with that being said, let's take a listen to the Minister of Health and Social Services, Esperanza Luvindao, at the handover ceremony.
Thank It speaks to the fact that we are now in a position, and I love what the CEO said, it's not going to happen all at once. It's not. And that is the unfortunate truth. So you wish everything would magically be fixed and things would 100% be better, but it's a process. And it's that journey that MVA has said, the MVA Fund has said they want to walk with us on this journey. This donation is not just about bringing advanced technology to the Katutura Intermediate Hospital. It is about creating world-class healthcare for all. And when I heard this, we were at our strategic planning workshop. I believe it was in Oshimaru, the week I actually took office. And so when I heard this new sort of vision, I said, okay, it's a very bold vision. Very, very bold. You are making a commitment to provide world-class health to people, and they will hold you to that. But one of the things I always say is that ultimately, we must set goals that speak to where we're trying to get to. And that's okay. We recently introduced that we would be tabling the mental health bill that repeals the bill of 1973. And there's a lot of detail in that bill. And somebody raised a question and they said, yes, but, you know, people will hold us to it. I said, that's good. Because it sets a standard of where we want public healthcare to get to. And that's important. It's been mentioned that this machine is the first of its kind in the country. And I'm not supposed to be biased. You know, we lead the private as well as the state, you know, as one country. But it speaks volumes to me that this is first launched in the state. Because a lot of the times the notion has been created that state is always playing catch up. You know, private has had it for years and then state suddenly starts. And those are things that we want to do away with. The Lodox machine, full body x-ray, allows us to fight for what we've been saying all along, which is world-class healthcare for all. Now let's talk about what makes this Lodox x-ray so revolutionary. And I touched on it in the beginning. Traditional x-rays are time-consuming. Traditional x-rays, also very importantly, was the issue of high doses of radiation. The Lodox changes this game significantly. Instead of a wide beam of light, it uses a focused narrow beam that scans the entire body in a matter of seconds, approximately 13 seconds to be exact. Now, in order for us to appreciate this 30 seconds, these 13 seconds, I want to highlight, so even when you go to a private facility, you arrive in a private facility and the doctor sees you, then they write the x-ray form, then they send you for the x-ray, they do the x-ray of the arm, they reposition you, they do the x-ray of the C-spine, they reposition, they do the x-ray of the pelvis, they reposition. And so the importance of this is, and I see healthcare practitioners here, and I want us to do a comparison. So this is 13 seconds. After an MVA, what is the usual time? Roundabout. What are we talking about? That it takes to get those x-rays. I see we have a specialist. I see we have a specialist. Dr. Gowdy, you are here with us. Plus, minus. It doesn't have to be exact. Because we don't want the papers to say no Luvendawas. You know, if it comes from a specialist, they will believe it.
So the answer is complex. Thank you for the question. My answer is dependent on the triage of the patient. So it could take for the patient itself 10 minutes, but if there's a long queue ahead or there are more urgent patients, I can wait for those very same x-rays for more than an hour.
Good. So it can be more than an hour. And we're dropping this down effectively to about 13 seconds. So what does this mean for the average Namibian? Number one, speed, so faster diagnosis. Number two, lower radiation, which is important, less exposure to radiation. This is a reminder that we must go digital. I don't know why they keep giving me papers. comprehensive view, so it gives a complete picture of the entire body, allowing doctors to identify all injuries, even those that might be initially hidden. Improved workflow, so we're talking about better communication among medical teams, leading to more efficient and coordinated care. So instead of asking our specialist, Dr. Gowdy, to, you know, have a look at this image because I'm not sure, you're asking her to look at one full panel immediately, and she can automatically say whether you've missed something or not. So this is particularly critical for Namibia because of the public health challenge that we face. The Lodox machine empowers us to be more effective. But I want to emphasize very importantly that this is not an isolated handover. I like what MVA said. It always gets my attention when partners say there's more to come. It gets me happy. So you've heard it from the CEO herself, there's more to come. And we look forward to that, and I am privy to what the more to come is. And I would like to challenge other entities. So MVA does it, the MVA Fund does it, not because they have to. They do it because they understand the vision, they understand the goal, they understand how this aligns to when we talk about Vision 2030. They understand how it aligns. When we talk about NDP 6, they understand how it aligns. And when we talk about the National Health Policy Framework and the Health Sector Strategic Plan, they understand what it means. So partnerships like this emphasize, as was said by Ms. Amambo, that the Ministry of Health and Social Services is not lone standing. And we've heard it time and time again, but as cliche as it sounds, they say, if you want to go fast, go alone. Is that correct? If you want to go far, go together. So to the board and the management of the MVA Fund, on behalf of the government of Namibia and the Ministry of Health and Social Services, I extend our heartfelt gratitude and appreciation. I was briefing my principal this morning, and the excitement that we have people, entities, companies, organizations that are willing to stand with us regarding the vision that we all have for the Namibian healthcare system speaks volumes. And so once again, I wish to highlight that on behalf of the government of the Republic of Namibia, please accept our sincere gratitude to our dedicated healthcare workers that are here today. Can you lift up your hand?
And there you had it from the Minister of Health and Social Services, right here, our Namibian Health Minister. Speaking, of course, that this Lodox machine is the first of its kind in Namibia. And in other words, not even in private, let me speak that on a correction, but let me rely, of course, on the Minister's words. Not even private has this particular machine. But see, it being at the state hospital, our very common state hospital, our referral hospital that a lot of Namibians make use of, you know, a lot of Namibians. And I mean, people get sent from Oshakati, get sent from Kathmandu to Katutura State Hospital. So just see how very significant this move really is. Now, when we talk about really advancements, these are some of the discussions that ought to be put on the table. These are some of the discussions that really ought to be facilitated in order for, at the end of the day, we know, especially when we're talking about patients that have been in motor vehicle accidents, you know, especially those type of patients, you know, they need critical interventions. They need, it depends obviously on the severity of the crash and the injuries, but they need critical interventions because in a significant short time, you know, you could easily lose them, you know, but injuries that could be prevented if they were significantly attended to in a short period of time. So it's something that's really also very dear to my heart, knowing that I touch on health itself myself. So it's something that, especially on emergency medical care, so it's something that I really applaud as well. Now let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace, and of course when we do return, we'll be telling you what's making headlines in terms of news beyond the borders. This is On the Radar News Analysis. Should you have any questions or contributions, please kindly dial on 083-288-401. That's the number in studio.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoewe ekukulile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuala onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nene uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushe indife nawa nokumona oijabu ili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora isafimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko derewa hora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu oma felane Eagle FM the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back, and now we take you to news beyond the borders. We're starting off in South Africa, where the Evangelican Church of Southern Africa has called on FIFA to ban Israel in sports. Let's take a listen.
Israel's relentless attacks on Gaza in Palestine for the last 2 years have caused a humanitarian crisis. Scores have died. Critical infrastructure has been demolished and the delivery of aid has been blocked. And the Anglican Church of Southern Africa is now calling for Israel to be banned from playing in international soccer tournaments as a consequence for their attacks on Gaza.
The sports, a boycott against apartheid, brought home the cost of continuing to support the oppression of others in South Africa. In the same way, boycott of Israeli sports teams is a non-violent way of highlighting the cost of destroying Gaza and killing or ethnically cleansing its people. So I will be writing to SAFA that they write to FIFA requesting that Israel be banned from taking part in any international sports as part of this resolution.
The church says a sports boycott aimed at Israel will have a strong impact.
In September 2023, even before October 7, the Anglican Church of Southern Africa declared Israel to be an apartheid state. This year, we are calling on FIFA and other sports bodies to cut off all contact with Israel so that ordinary Israelis will understand that support for genocide is unacceptable for humanity.
Thousands of pro-Palestinian supporters also marched in Cape Town to show solidarity with the people of Palestine. This is what some of the marchers had to say about Anglican Archbishop Thabo Makgoba's call for FIFA to ban Israel from international soccer.
A precedent has already been set that when countries behave badly or out of line, they get banned from international sports events. The same should apply to Israel.
I'm 100% after that, because I believe they shouldn't participate in anything around the world, especially sports, because of their, what's called, the genocides and all those things.
I feel that Israel should be banned from all international sport because they are an apartheid organization. And apartheid is a crime against humanity, it has always been. And so FIFA is just one of the sports that they should be banned from.
We fully support his idea on that, and we obviously pro-Palestine in all, in full integrity. If you look at the Archbishop in Palestine, he said if all the mosques were demolished, he would support the call to prayer from the churches themselves. So in that regard, I would obviously fully support the Archbishop in his approach.
FIFA was not immediately available for comment. Corbin August, SABC News, Cape Town.
Meanwhile, Zambia has applauded the World Bank support for Jewel project at the UN General Assembly.
The 80th session of the United Nations General Assembly has continued its business in New York, United States of America. Zambia is participating at this global event. On Jewel 2 Jobs for the Poor side event, Gender Division Permanent Secretary at Cabinet Office, Mainga Kabika,
is in New York to galvanize funds to invest in the Jewel project, which has seen the Crippled Girls in School program scaled up to all the 116 districts of Zambia, to which Ms. Kabika has paid gratitude to the World Bank and other cooperating partners for this gesture.
Your partnership on the girls' education and women's empowerment at Livelihood Jewel project is a powerful testament to our shared commitment to social justice and development. Zambia's national policies are firmly rooted in the belief that no one should be left behind.
Representative to the United Nations, Chola Milambo, said the Jewel project is a cornerstone of Zambia's strategic approach to combating poverty and inequality.
Government of the Republic of Zambia, under the leadership of His Excellency President Hakainde Hichilema, is championing the Jewel project as a cornerstone of our social protection and poverty reduction agenda. Through Jewel, we have seen lives change. We have provided livelihood support to thousands of women, equipping them with business skills, financial literacy, and dignity of economic independence.
Here, the World Bank reaffirmed its commitment to supporting the Jewel project in Zambia.
So in Zambia, for example, you know, we're nearly 145,000. So just to give a number, 145,000 women have received support. And we have the latest data that show that the benefits lasted more than 3 years after the program ended. And this is phenomenal.
Bethias Mutale, for Zanis News.
President Hakainde Hichilema has reaffirmed Zambia's commitment to sustainable tourism and wildlife protection.
This year's Danto traditional ceremony of the Chikunda people in Chief Mpuka's chiefdom in Luangwa district was glamorously celebrated with traditional dances and performances from various groups. The celebration, which attracted chiefs from different chiefdoms, began with His Royal Highness Chief Mpuka visiting the shrine to pray to God through the ancestors for good rains and abundant harvests. This was followed by the presentation of a variety of the Chikunda foodstuffs to the chief for blessings.
Thank you.
President Hakainde Hichilema, who graced the occasion through Minister of Fisheries and Livestock Peter Kapala, reaffirmed government's commitment to resolving human-animal conflicts.
Being an agricultural community, I'm pleased to announce that government has made significant efforts to improve crop production and ensure food security at household level through the installation of irrigation systems. Government is enhancing the protection of our rural resources while enabling communities to benefit from sustainable tourism.
Chief Mpuka, who spoke through his representative, thanked the government for the developmental projects in the district.
I would like to thank the President of the Republic of Zambia, Mr. Hakainde Hichilema, for giving us fertilizer to the chief and the people of Luangwa district as a support for farming.
This year's Danto traditional ceremony was celebrated under the theme Cultural Restoration for National Unity, Peace and Economic Development in Zambia after 60 years. Mijelo Masira Mwemba for Zanese News in Luangwa district, Lusaka province.
Uganda, UAE, open ICT center for oil and gas in Jinja.
Been in operations since 2021. This institution was a donation by the UAE. BIP, or Busoga International Polytechnic, is a collaboration between two governments, the Ugandan government and the UAE government. Specifically, the Kingdom of Busoga donated the land, and the Sharjah Chamber of Commerce put together the design and construction of this beautiful building.
This institution is how to skill young learners, young students. And one of the things that we are seeing in this institution is that there is a lot of creativity that is coupled with science, technology, and IT. So it gives a wider chance for child to search, research, and come up with new innovations into what they are trying to do.
We offer a variety of disciplines. We offer both engineering, Pearson BTEC Level 2 and Level 3, Diploma in Engineering, and also Pearson BTEC, International Level 2 and Level 3, Diploma in Construction. And because our students are basically doing engineering, we basically introduce them to a variety of software programs, especially in the area of design. And being that drawing is basically used as a means of communication in the engineering sector, so we introduce them to both manual drawing and CAD, which is computer-aided design, and other CAD software programs, which is a requirement in the engineering sector, especially in the design process.
One of the main areas that we regulate is capacity building, and that skilling of Ugandans to be able to work within the oil and gas sector. And we are very privileged that the Busoga International Polytechnic Institution is part of those that we are set up actually to support with manpower, to support with the supply of manpower in the oil and gas sector.
Meanwhile, the Uganda Cancer Institute has received breast prosthesis.
Personally, even other women, we used to fear, thinking we are going to cut off our breasts now, we shall lose our fame in community. But several times she has come to us to encourage us. So we have come out to say, no problem. If it's really life-saving, then let it be cut off and we shall live. Because many women have lost their breasts and then they can't afford to buy. So when such groups of women come to really support us, it is such a blessing.
having a breast cancer diagnosis doesn't mean that somebody should walk with a chest that is not the same as it was before. So when these breast prostheses come in, they help to build the confidence and also give the patient a hope that after a cancer diagnosis and after a breast surgery, they can still wear their clothes and be smart, and that improves on their dignity, it improves on their hope, and it improves on their also uptake of breast surgery, because that's a big challenge that we also get, that patients wouldn't want to have surgery, which most time is life-saving just because of cosmesis, because of the way they look after the surgery. And as a country, we have a big proportion of our cancer patients with breast cancer being young, and they are most affected with issues to do with being smart, having dignity, and walking around with people not going to them out, because that increases the stigma.
And, this came about when this cancer aid organization came to us as a group to talk to us about cancer awareness, and the idea of breast prosthesis came from that. And going forward, we want to do more, and we hope that these other well-wishers will all come along and will help our fellow women.
Meanwhile, Kenya has opened national parks for free to boost conservation.
This is the Nairobi National Park, the only national park located inside a capital city. And as the world marked the International Day for Tourism, the gates here were wide open for Kenyans to experience the wild up close and free of charge. And I did join them.
Hello!
They came in their droves, curious for a first-time encounter with Kenya's natural treasures. For others, it was a chance to reconnect with the wild.
This is my 17th time to be here. I love nature, so I came to reconnect with nature. I was happy of what the government decided to do for its Kenyan citizen. So I wanted to be part of this experience and see the changes and if maybe there's any good thing that they are in place. So that's why I came also.
Nimefurahi sana kwa hiyo opportunity.
We have seen so many animals, some that we only see on TV. Today, we've got the opportunity to have a look at them, and we are so happy.
Like Moses and Masawe, hundreds of those who visited the national park ended up at the animal orphanage. They were treated to a visual spectacle of caged lions, cheetahs, warthogs, cranes, and many other animals.
The most frustrating animal is warthog. I haven't even liked the shape of the warthog. I love pigs, but after comparing pigs and warthogs, I was like, wow, this is warthog. I have never seen warthog face to face.
The thrill of a game drive did not escape those that had vehicles. The rhinos have made an appearance. What a sight. These are black rhinos. Now this has left many visitors in awe. Look at them. Just like us, every visitor wanted to capture the moment, especially as the majestic creatures moved slowly across the savannah, their bodies framed against the city's skyline. Some of the lucky few also got to see some lions as they arrogantly let everyone know who is still king of the jungle. On this day, all the gates to Kenya's animal sanctuaries, including the Masai Mara, famed for the wonderful wildebeest migration, were wide open to Kenyans. Normally, Kenyans pay about 500 Kenyan shillings, which is about $3 to $4 to enter. But today, it's not about money. It's about connection. It's about access. It's about understanding why these spaces here are very important and why they do matter. For a day, the barriers were lifted, allowing Kenyans to experience the wild heart of their country and perhaps to carry its conservation message home. Enoch Sekolia, CGTN.
International court blocks sale of uranium stocks over dispute between Niger and French mining group.
An international court of arbitration has temporarily blocked the sale of uranium stockpiles over a dispute between the Niger government and French mining group Orano. The court in Washington, D.C. on Friday ordered Niamey to halt the sale of the uranium, which Orano claims has been stolen from it. The court also ordered the release of Orano's representative, who has been held in custody since May. In December last year, Niger's military junta took control of Orano's operation as part of a wider push to regulate the mining of raw materials by foreign entities. Since coming to power in 2023, Niger's military rulers have expelled French troops and forged closer ties with Russia and Turkey. Orano claims that more than 1,000 tons of uranium concentrate worth more than $200 million haven't been exported. The court may not issue its final decision for months or even years.
Meanwhile, Michigan church death toll rises after shooting in arson attack. Let's take a listen.
But we begin this hour with four people having been killed and several others injured in a mass shooting at a Mormon church in the northern U.S. state of Michigan. The attack happened in the town of Grand Blanc, about an hour's drive northwest of Detroit. Authorities say the suspect is a 40-year-old man they've identified as Thomas Jacob Sanford. They say he rammed his vehicle into the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints building and started shooting. Our correspondent Barry Caffrey reports.
Engulfed in flames, a Mormon church in a quiet corner of Michigan, now the site of yet another episode in America's endless gun violence. The ordeal unfolded as a gunman, 40-year-old Thomas Jacob Sanford, rammed the church with a vehicle at 25 past 10 in the morning and began shooting at the congregation with an assault rifle. He then set the Church of the Latter-day Saints in Grand Blanc alight, sparking a huge blaze which engulfed the building.
This act of violence has no place in our state or anywhere else in our country. The FBI is committed to continue finding out the facts, circumstances, and motives behind this tragedy. I can confirm at this time that the FBI is now leading the investigation and is investigating this as an act of targeted violence.
After a few minutes, the gunman was killed during an exchange of fire with the police. Authorities said the entire church has not yet been cleared because of the extensive fire damage, and some people are still unaccounted for. Local police have praised the churchgoers who responded to the shooting.
I'd also like to acknowledge the heroism of not only the first responders, but the people who were inside that church at the time. They were shielding the children who were also present within the church, moving them to safety. Just hundreds of people just practicing their faith. Just extreme courage, brave, and that's the type of community that we are.
President Trump wrote on social media that he'd been briefed on what he called yet another targeted attack on Christians in the United States. He said the epidemic of violence in our country must end immediately. This attack comes just a month after a shooter fired through the windows of a church in Minneapolis, killing two children. The motive behind this church shooting in Michigan remains unclear. Barry Caffrey, BBC News.
Steve Carmody is a reporter with Michigan Public. He has this update from Grand Blanc.
At this point, they're still putting together the pieces, trying to understand the motive behind this. At this time, there's no direct connections that have been made public between the shooter and the church or anyone who was attending the church. And at this point, his motives for carrying out this attack are unclear. There were vigils that were taking place this evening in different parts of the community. Many people went to as close as they could to the church and just there to pay their respects. Many just expressing shock that people can't even be at peace when they're inside a church. We hear this all the time. Why has this happened here? This thing never happens in our kind of community. And it is something that those of us here in the States who have covered multiple mass shootings have heard everywhere we've been. And when we hear someone say, this doesn't happen in our community, it happens in communities all across the United States.
Now, of course, with that, we have come to the conclusion of today's episode of On The Radar News Analysis. So stay tuned for the Onkona Nadenge program brought to you by Lois Deshimi. And thereafter, the Home Run Show with Dwight and Helmut from 16:30 shall be keeping you company. Don't forget to tune in for the Business Economic segment with David Chombe from 1800 hours. From Indafa, happy as usual, it is goodbye. Have yourself a wonderful Monday. We'll see you again same time, same place on Tuesday.